Good morning again. Can everybody hear me okay? Just want to check. Yeah? Okay. Let's begin by praying together. Father God, we thank you for your word and ask that you open our minds and our hearts to what you would say to us this morning. Amen. It would be really helpful if you could keep your Bibles open at the passage that we've just had read to us right at the end of Acts. So here we are at our journey's end. After our reading today, Luke puts down his pen, Paul has reached Rome, and after a number of autumns working through the book of Acts, we have made it to the last chapter. Last week we found Paul still a prisoner, supported by his friends Aristarchus and Luke, who writes Acts, on a ship sailing to Italy, where Paul was being taken to appear before Caesar. As we heard then, they were shipwrecked, but everyone on board reaches land safely, and it turns out that they've been washed up on the island of Malta. They're forced to spend the winter there until the sailing season opened again around February, March time. And you can read a little bit more about what happened on Malta in the early part of chapter 28. In our passage today, Paul continues on his journey to Rome. You will recall that it has been Paul's intention to take the good news of Jesus as far as Rome. This is reinforced by Jesus appearing to him and saying that he would testify to Jesus in Rome. And then there's a reassurance from an angel during the shipwreck that he would not die because he must stand trial in Rome. So as he boards the ship in Malta for the final journey to Italy, we're reminded of the providence of God, the protective care of God, as he worked out his plans in Paul's life. Paul didn't need the protection of those twin gods that adorned the ship that they boarded, because he rested in the God who was in charge of all that happened, including the wind and the waves. All that we've looked at this autumn makes it seem that everything was conspiring against Paul ever getting to Rome. He had intended to go straight there from Jerusalem, but then he's arrested, he's subjected to trials, he's imprisoned, he survives a plot to kill him, he's nearly drowned in a storm, he's nearly killed by soldiers who don't want the prisoners to escape, and then he's bitten by a poisonous snake. Everything seems designed to keep him from his God-given destination. And now he presses on the final leg of his journey. They sail from Malta to Sicily, and then they sail on to Rhegium on the toe of Italy. And then the next day they make 200 miles up to the Bay of Naples, where they spend a week with Christians. And then they continue by land, taking the Appian Way straight north to Rome, which was a walk of 149 miles. On this part of the journey, some Christians from Rome came down to meet Paul. How amazing it must have been to have met those Christians he had longed to see, who walked with him those last 40 miles or so. Proof that he was so nearly in Rome. God had brought him here despite all that had happened and the delay of over 2 years on when he thought he would be there. And so we learn about God's providence. God brings Paul to Rome, where Paul wanted to go, but God gets him there as a prisoner, not what Paul would have had in mind. Jesus' promise that Paul would make it to Rome missed out the information that he would go as a prisoner. So the message we find in this final chapter of Acts is that God is in control. His ways may not always be our ways, yet his plans and purposes for us are fulfilled. As Romans puts it, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Take heart today, remind yourself. Perhaps you thought God was taking your life in one direction and it's gone in another. Perhaps it feels like you've been waiting a long time for him to show up. Perhaps you're quite clear where God is taking you, but you can't quite see how you'll get there. In fact, if anything, you feel further away than when you last looked. The last chapter of Acts reminds us of the providence of God and that loving him as you do, his plans for you will come to pass. The fact that Paul went to Rome as a prisoner and spent 2 years in custody there were not wasted. Although probably chained to a guard, he was able to live in his own rented house. Many people were able to come and see him, and he was able to teach about Jesus. And we guess that as an angel said would happen, the current Caesar, Nero, heard his case himself. And so Paul shared the gospel with the ruthless Nero. He would not have been heard in such high places had he not been a prisoner on trial. God knew what he was doing in getting Paul to Rome and in the way he got him there. When I was in the process that was to lead to ordination, because of changes with the powers that be, I ended up with about 8 months when nothing was happening. And I began to wonder if the whole thing would just grind to a halt. But in that time of waiting, I took a look at who was supporting me. And I began a formal relationship to direct me spiritually. And that became really significant in helping me to understand more of what God was up to. God is working his purposes out and in his timing, and none of our experiences along the way are ever wasted. So the first theme from the end of Acts is what we see of the providence of God. And the second is the prominence of Jesus. Paul is very clear just how important Jesus is. Paul is unstoppable. He's walked all those miles to Jerusalem and gives himself 3 days to recover. So keen is he to be sharing the good news of Jesus. And first, he engages with the Jewish leaders. He doesn't know what they've heard about him. And he wants to explain. He wants to start off on the right footing in Rome. He tells them that he has done nothing against the Jewish people or customs. The Romans had wanted to set him free. But he had had to appeal to Caesar purely because the Jews had objected to his release, and it was to save his own life, even though he had nothing against the Jewish people. He was a loyal Jew and had become a prisoner purely because of Israel's hope for a Messiah that they all shared and which he saw as fulfilled in Jesus. In fact, they'd heard no bad reports about Paul, but a lot of negative talk about the way of following Jesus. And so they spend a day listening to Paul. On that occasion, and over the next 2 years, while waiting for trial, with both Jews and non-Jews, Paul focuses on the prominence of Jesus. He declares and preaches the kingdom of God, the reign of God as king over all the earth, breaking into history, which Paul saw as having happened with the events of Jesus' life, his words, actions, death, resurrection, and the sending of the Spirit. He used the Old Testament scriptures to support the claims of Jesus to be the Messiah, that the Jesus who had lived in real time was also the biblical Christ that they were waiting for. while focusing on what he knew was relevant to his audience. The importance of Jesus was right up there. He had no argument without reference to Jesus. The final verse of the book of Acts states that Paul spoke boldly and without hindrance. Nothing held the gospel back. What a way to be remembered as someone who was bold and faithful in telling other people of the good news of Jesus. That was what he lived for. Having listened to Paul, some of the Jewish leaders are convinced, while others are not and seem to choose not to believe, and they start to leave. As is so often the case, the person of Jesus divides. There is a choice to be made. If you find yourself convinced about Jesus, not just that he was a figure in the history of the world, not just that he came up with some great ideas on how to live, but also that what he said about himself was true, that he was the Son of God who loves us, offering up his life for our forgiveness as we remember in communion. If you find yourself convinced about these things, then there is a decision to be made about following him. Perhaps that is you today, needing to make a decision, whether for the first time or afresh, because you know that you've let things slip. If you would like to follow Jesus, grab Will or me and tell us, or go and pray afterwards with someone in the side chapel. Luke writes the book of Acts so that it starts and ends with Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 1, Luke says he has written about what Jesus has done and taught. And in the final verse today, he describes Paul's bold teaching about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. So we learn of the providence of God, the prominence of Jesus, and finally of the privilege of the church. Paul has split his audience in two. But what makes them leave is his final comment, where he applies the words of Isaiah 6 to them. It's a warning that their hearts have become hard. They have closed their eyes, and they've got deaf ears, and they won't believe. As a result, God's saving grace has been sent to those outside the Jewish faith, and they will listen and respond. The book of Acts tells us that the gospel is meant for all peoples. We are here in St. Nick's, Newbury, in 2017, because the Holy Spirit enabled the early church to be witnesses for Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here at the end of Acts, the gospel has reached all those places, and in reaching Rome, there is now an open door, as Paul teaches, without hindrance, and the gospel goes out from Rome to the world. The privilege of the church is that it has been a witness to the saving grace of Jesus, and ever since has had the awesome task of picking up where Luke's writing and Paul's journey end, and continuing to be the means by which Jesus reaches our world. And we today are part of that cast of people through whom God will work out his plans for our world. And that made me want to draw out two points as we close. Firstly, I've met people who quite want to follow Jesus, but they don't want to be part of the church. That may be because they consider that most people in church are a bit odd, and they might be right, of course. It may be because they've been hurt by poor behaviour by a church leader. It may be because they consider that most people in church are hypocrites who say one thing, but their actions don't match up. Whatever we think of the church, God in his providence has decided that it will be a key vehicle by which he will touch the world, from its early days in the book of Acts down the centuries to today. And so we need each other. And as the saying goes, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you will only ruin it. Maybe you need to decide to invest something of your life in the church, whether here or elsewhere. But maybe you need today to decide to travel with others, warts and all. And then linked with this is something I want to say about those verses in Isaiah that were included in Acts today. Paul warned the Jews about their inability to truly see and hear the things of God, and that their hearts had become hard. And of course, we are not immune either. Last weekend, the women at St. Nick's had a day together inspired by a verse in Proverbs. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. On Monday this week, I was at a conference where a session was based on exactly the same verse. Okay, Lord, I said, I think I'm beginning to get the message. What do you do to make sure that your heart does not become hard, to look after your emotional well-being and stay connected to God? It may be taking time to be alone, to enjoy the countryside, praying as you walk the dog, reading or hearing new teaching. It's also likely to involve relationships where people know you well, where you can share openly together of your struggles as a Christian and encourage and challenge each other. This might mean praying regularly with one or two others or being part of a small group. Do what you know you need to do to guard your heart, your emotions and your will, your innermost being. May our hearts not become hard and insensitive to God. So why did Luke write his gospel and the book of Acts that followed? He said it was so that his readers may have certainty about what they have been taught about Jesus. And at the end of Acts, we find Paul reaching Rome, having seen God's plan for him fulfilled. We find him focusing on Jesus, teaching boldly and with nothing to hold the gospel back. And as Paul's journey ends, the church, which includes us, takes up that privilege of making Jesus known. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you work out your plans in our life, that you sent Jesus to walk with us, to love us and forgive us. And we pray that we may travel together as we seek to make your gospel known to Newbury and beyond. Amen.